FirstRand released its full-year results today, reporting a 12% rise in earnings, with income from operations strengthening by 8%. FNB carrying the bulk of the contributions, alleviating some of the pressure from WesBank, which posted a decrease in earnings of 9%, while RMB managed to deliver earnings growth of 6%, and recently acquired UK bank Aldermore contributed 276 million rand to group earnings in the 3 months in which it became effective. The company's total dividend payout now sits at 2.75 rand, and that reflects an 8% increase. Alan Pullinger, CEO of FirstRand, joins us in studio now to get into some of the detail behind the numbers. Thanks so much, Alan, for joining us today. So the market's certainly liking the numbers you've put on the table today. Yeah. The dividend payout, nothing to scoff at either. But given the pressure exerted by the state of the South African economy, lack of confidence and in turn investment that we're seeing, with structural changes needed in order to shift domestic fundamentals, what are you putting your resilience down to, given your South African exposure?
Well, we're very pleased with the results. I guess for us, what is really pleasing is that the portfolio really did well. You're right, the heavy lifting was done by FNB, up 16%. I guess what was really pleasing for us there, it was an operational result, mm-hmm. and much less driven by advances or loans. Booked onto the balance sheet. So if we look at FNB's loans, let's just take retail as the big segment. Consumer loans were only up 3%, and premium loans were up 7%. So it's not as if loan advances really grew, really drove those earnings of 16%. FNB commercial advances only up 12% off a smaller book. So really, where did that result come from? And it's pretty much right across that FNB business. They had a very good result in deposits. We saw, very pleasingly for us, we saw a growth in customer numbers, up 4%. Doesn't sound like a lot, but in an economy that's so soft, an increase of 4% in customer numbers. Bear in mind, they have 8 million customers. It's a very decent result.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's that soft economy, though, that's still rattling nerves. And I've got to ask you, are you worried about your South African exposure? Because you have a very tiny African business, insurance arm as well, and no signs being shown of wanting to chase those avenues any more aggressively.
Yeah, well, we have a number of growth levers. We think that the driver of the engine, the sort of engine of FirstRand's earnings, is going to be South Africa still. This is where we have the most mature business. It's where we are generating the highest kind of returns. Mm-hmm. We've got some really exciting domestic strategies playing out. So this issue of integrated financial services, getting into some of the adjacent activities around banking, you can see how well insurance is starting to scale. So these are all exciting things. And this e-migration, getting customers onto these electronic and digital channels, you can see how that's scaling. And all of that stuff, one, it drives volumes. Two, it's very attractive to customers, so we are attracting new customers. It allows us to sell an increasing number of propositions to that customer base. So South Africa is great for us. It's a big growth lever for us, but it's not the only one. Then you talk about our business in sub-Saharan Africa. We have 9 subsidiary banks. That in time is also going to deliver earnings. You can see it contributes about 11% of our earnings that come out of Africa. It's a difficult territory. I don't have to tell you that, there's a lot of conversations about some of those markets currently on the go. But for us, that's also a growth lever. And then, you mentioned Aldermore, in the introduction. Yeah, we bought Aldermore's earnings in for the first time this year, and so we've got a quarter, 3 months of their results included in these numbers.
Absolutely. With the banking arena, though, becoming a whole lot more competitive, how much of a challenge do you see client retention proving to be? And I ask the question because Discovery Bank takes with it its credit card business, and that's, and it's likely to use Vitality in awarding benefits to its customers, and that stands as a strong contender to your eBucks system. Have you done any impact analysis so far as far as your mid to top income customers are concerned?
Yeah, so you saw that 4% increase in customer numbers actually translated into 17% for that premium segment for us, which is probably that segment that Discovery's targeting. There's a couple of points that I want to make around the Discovery transaction. So firstly, they're not the only new entrant coming to the market. They're probably the most advanced. Two, they are going to have an important building block to start the bank off, which is going to be this credit card book. Mm-hmm. It's a good book. There's 230,000 customers, I think, in that book. So we would say that those would probably be what we would call premium customers, by and large. Of that customer base, about 30% bank with FNB, 70% bank with a range of other banks. So I guess Discovery's challenge when they launch is they want to broaden the relationship beyond simply just the credit card product, and so they're going to have to switch those customers. Mm-hmm. So switching is not an easy game. I mean, we've been in banking for a long time. We've been trying to switch other banks' customers. It's tough to switch. It's tough to switch around the world, actually.
Okay, so you think that's going to buy you some breathing room?
Well, no. I think it's... I'm just talking about the challenge that Discovery's got. Two, we know who those customers are, you know, that are potentially at risk. And we are not simply going to hand those customers over to Discovery. And so we are going to compete hard to keep those relationships, those transactional banking mm-hmm. relationships with First Rand.
How much more intense does your focus become on cross-selling, first of all? And then secondly, how do you, get to upping margins?
Yeah, so cross-selling, you can see how it's ticking up, you know, and I guess a bit of a technical word, cross-selling, but it's basically how many products, mm-hmm. unique products per customer take-up, if you like. So you can see that's almost getting to that level of three, which is a very important level for us. And as it ticks up, even small increments across such a big customer base are very meaningful for us. So we think there's a lot of momentum in that cross-sell ratio. It's not as if we're not bringing new propositions. We've got a pipeline of new propositions that we're continuing to bring to the market. So we think that's going to continue to scale. You know, with respect to margins, that really is going to play across the different asset classes. Our big books of mortgages, I mean, it's very difficult to drive margin mm-hmm. growth in mortgages. I mean, it's really a function of supply and demand in that market, and there are a lot of big competitors playing in that space. We're getting very good margins in our vehicle and asset finance book in Westbank. Yeah.
Well, not enough time to get through it, or we haven't even touched on Westbank and that your pressure point at the moment, but we'll have to pick up that conversation, I guess, at a later stage. Alan, thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Alan Pullinger is CEO of First Rand.